The effort to come out this morning. There's a saying that I've heard a while already that has stuck with me, and there's a lot of truth to it. They say that we make time for the things that are important to us. We live in a society today that you hear the excuse given many times, I didn't have time. But we make time for the things that are important to us. And just the sight of all yous here this morning tells me that yous understand the need for the spiritual food that we need in our lives as well as the physical. And so I just want to say thank you to each one of yous for coming out this morning for our fifth session of Encourage Men. As far as announcements this morning, I didn't have a lot, but I did want to just make note of there's a banquet coming up at Shady Maple for the Door of Hope Ministry. The brochures are back on the table if you're interested in that. And then also the Anabaptist Awareness for Sexual Abuse that is coming up here in November. I think that's being held in Indiana this year. So if you're interested in that, there's also brochures back on the table as well. And I'll just take the time to introduce myself at this time. For some of yous, you've seen me around, but as of this year is the first year that they have asked me to help serve on the committee here. So David Zimmerman's my name, and I am serving on the committee this year and looking forward to doing that. This particular group or these meetings have done a lot, have meant a lot to me. I've attended them on and off throughout the years, and I've always been richly blessed and encouraged when I made the time to do it. It has helped me grow as a man, and I hope that you can say the same thing. So at this time, I'll ask Doug to come forward and lead us in our song.
Fields of sin, once they walked.
So the topic this morning is on forgiveness, a foundational thing that has to happen as we deal with these relationships in the lives all around us. And Jason is here to go over that this morning, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. So we'll just ask him to come forward, and we'll have time of prayer here at this time. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just say thank you for this opportunity and privilege that we have to gather in this way this morning, and what a blessing it is as we recognize that there is many places around us that does not have this privilege. And Lord, we just say thank you for it. And we just pray, Lord, for your spirit this morning to be with us. I just pray for Brother Jason as he has prepared to teach this lesson. I pray, Lord, that you would empower him, strengthen him, give him the wisdom, give him the truth, and give him the courage to bring this forth. I pray, Lord, that your name could be honored and glorified in each one of our lives as we deal with this topic of forgiveness. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you this morning, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. Sure, good to have you on board as a committee member. Very grateful for all the men who put a lot of energy into Encourage Men. Well, Grace and I spent some time away to celebrate our 54th wedding anniversary. I think I told you before, we were married when I was 10, so it tells you how old we are. Okay. Anyway, we really enjoyed some time away and then time with our family as well. So it was a real blessed time, and it was refreshing. So I was really grateful for that time. Forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is at the very foundation of our faith. It is at the extremely foundation of our faith. Without forgiveness, Christianity doesn't exist. Do you realize that? And it is so crucial. It is absolutely important. And here's what I've seen over the years, that we've heard lots of sermons in church. How many of you heard lots of sermons on forgiveness? You can hear lots of, yeah, I have. Grew up hearing it. And here's the challenging thing is even though we heard lots of sermons on forgiveness, it's not overly well understood. And then the question is how do we forgive? Okay, we're told we have to forgive, and we know that. It's not even an option, but how do we forgive? And so this morning, we would like to unpack and look at how Jesus defines forgiveness. I grew up in a fellowship, and I think probably it's common with almost all of you as well. When we became a part of that fellowship, when I gave my heart to the Lord and became part of that fellowship, we had to make some promises. We made some covenant promises to God. But we also agreed to practice Matthew 18. Anybody here have to do that in church? Is Matthew 18 something that, yeah. In other words, if somebody offends you, you'll go to your brother, and if somebody comes to you and they have an offense, and then you what? You forgive them, right? But wow. So when I look at Matthew 18, and I've looked at it a lot this week, in Matthew 18 is where Jesus defines forgiveness. Now, Matthew 18 has sort of two parts to it, and I often say the first part, all of it is the spirit of Matthew 18, but I have watched people take the first part of it and use it legally. Well, okay, so this is what I promised. So I have some. There's a brother that has a problem with me, and I have a problem with a brother, so I go to them. But instead of going to restore a relationship, I go to make my point. And when I take another brother, because if I go to make my point, I probably won't have restoration, and then I take another brother who's on my side to go back to really prove my point, right? And after a while, it polarizes, and after a while, you have church divisions. And I've been through a few of those. Not what God has in mind, not at all. And so what we want to do is we want to look at how Jesus defines forgiveness. At the bottom of your handout, there's this diagram, okay? And so if you start out at health, and oftentimes we don't always, because that red dot up there represents a hurt or pain. And sometimes that starts from the very beginning. Sometimes we're born into a family of hurt and pain. Sometimes we're born into an environment of hurt and pain. But so everything's, let's just say everything's going along pretty well, and something happens. Somebody says something, or somebody does something, or something happens, and that moment of hurt and pain happens. Well, then what do we do? Well, I'm going to use it as an illustration of I have very poor teeth, and so I spent lots of time in a dentist and a lot of money at the dentist, okay? So I have a mouth full of silver and root canals and everything else. But when you get a toothache, it hurts. And you know what? It's not just your tooth that hurts, your whole body. You got me? Okay, then what do? You pop an ibuprofen or an Aleve or something, and then what happens is you start feeling better, right? And so then you feel a little bit better. And so then after a while that starts wearing off, and then you end up going through a cycle of coping with it, and you cope with it by medicating it. And the same thing is true with our emotional hurt and pain. We try to come up with ways of coping. We deal with it, and we spend this amount of time coping, and we start medicating, and oftentimes it'll involve sin. Because, you know, when we have emotional pain, when that emotional pain hurts, we try and soothe that pain by what? Something that makes us happy. Some of us might be food, okay? Some really good comfort food, right? That can really help a lot. For me, a good cup of coffee in the morning solves a lot of problems, okay? And so this you know, last night I set the coffee pot, so at 4:30 it would kick in, and I had my first cup of coffee while I was looking at this stuff this morning, okay, at around 4:30, okay, while some of you were just thinking of getting out of bed right now. But you see, that really helps. But we do this. This is a coping mechanism that we sort of go through. But then a moment of truth arrives. And so what do we do? Here's truth. And so when somebody approaches us with truth, what do we do with it? Okay, so truth needs to be heard. And we need to hear truth, and we need to speak truth, and we need to believe truth. I'm going to use an illustration, and I don't think he's listening this morning, but I have a good friend who just came home from the hospital yesterday. But he had bypass surgery. I don't know if it was 3 or 4. I'll probably be seeing him today. But, he went through bypass surgery. And you see, what happened is, a number of years ago, he had a stent put in, but for him to starting to feel bad. You know what happens when you feel bad and it's your heart? I don't know, maybe you haven't experienced that, but some of you have. All of a sudden, you really get pretty serious about life. But to hear that he needed open heart surgery, that was truth that you didn't want to hear. Okay? And then what happened is he ended up going into the hospital. So surgery, now truth has to be applied. And if we don't apply truth, we're not going to heal. So surgery was truth applied. He went to the hospital, and you know what? It was a very successful surgery, and he went home yesterday. And I was so delighted to hear that. I was so pleased to hear that. But now what happens after surgery, once you apply the truth, now you can start healing. And the healing comes, and then you can experience freedom. And so he's at home. But you know what? That recovery period, that healing period takes time. And so he's going to be going through a period of time before he just goes back to work and resumes. But Lord willing, now he'll be free from that problem, and he'll be able to enjoy life. See, that's so, so important. And so look what a powerful truth about forgiveness says this: be kind one to another, tender-hearted. We really want to look at forgiveness, because if we understand forgiveness, so many times our physical problems stem off of emotional problems and unresolved conflicts in our life. Not always, okay, don't hear me say that that's across the board, but oftentimes it does. But here, Paul is telling us, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, even as. That's an analogy. So let me ask you a question. What does that even as mean? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. How's God forgiven you? What words would you use to describe it? Want to help me out? Completely. Graciously. Never stopping. Willingly. Lovingly. He had to die for it. Sacrificially. Now tell me, are you okay with the even as? Are you okay with the even as? Because if we're not, we're in trouble. I've been through church divisions. I've been through family problems. I've been through all kinds of situations. But if we don't get this one, if we don't get this one, it's not going to work. The even as is so critical here, brothers. And on top of that, how many times have you prayed the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we feel like forgiving our brother. No, we're telling God to forgive us to the degree and willingness that I'm willing to forgive you. Oh, my goodness. See, that even as, that analogy, huge, 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 huge. And you see, as we look at this, I think on your handout there, the next one is it goes against our natural inclinations. You know, oftentimes the wounds that we have, and I'm going to go back here, the wounds that we have oftentimes are heart wounds. They're heart wounds, and they're caused by words, they're caused by events, there are circumstances, and it might come from a father, we've been talking about that the last several times, might come from a friend, it might come from a church, it comes from all over the place, it might come from a neighbor. And then what happens is it helps, we start believing a lie. The enemy uses that hurt and pain to start us believing a lie. We're there, you know, that person hates me or doesn't like me, and we start believing something about ourselves or about them, and we build on that. And so what encouragement is all about is hearing truth. Encouragement is all about hearing truth, and we want to hear truth. We want to hear truth because what does Jesus say about truth? The truth will set you free. That's in John, John 8, like around 35, it says, Jesus says, you're truly my disciples. You're truly my disciples if you live as I tell you to. Oh my goodness. Do you hear that? We're truly his disciples if we live as he tells us to. And if we do that, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And a couple of verses later, he says, and if the Son sets you free, you'll really be able to cope. No, you're going to be free indeed. Wow. Free. We love freedom, don't we? Yeah, we do. And so this powerful truth of forgiveness, and we need to learn to accept forgiveness, but not only accept forgiveness, but to be willing to give forgiveness. It's a two-way street. And we need to be willing to ask forgiveness. You know what happens is when we're willing to do that, it produces a humility in us. And humility is a huge, it doesn't mean we're weak. Moses was the meekest man. He was humble, but he was strong. He was strong. And so humility gives us the ability to use strength in healing ways instead of damaging ways. It's really important. So when we accept forgiveness, we extend forgiveness, we're willing to ask forgiveness, we become an extension of God's forgiveness to us. Do you hear that? We become an extension of God's forgiveness to us. That is so huge. We model God when we forgive each other, humble ourselves, ask forgiveness, extend forgiveness. We become an extension of God. That is so important. Forgiveness is very important to God because, like we said, you couldn't have the foundation of Christianity is forgiveness. We couldn't be Christians if God wouldn't have sacrificially loved us to the point of sending Jesus to die to pay our sins so that we could be forgiven. That is so, so true. And when people do not forgive, enormous problems keep on flowing. And you know that. You've seen it. You've lived it. You've watched this. It's so important. So important. And as long as there's this sense of debt owed, there cannot be healing. Okay, we're going to look at this. And we already looked at, all those words that describe even as. But if we don't forgive, the problems don't go away. They just keep on staying there and niggling in the background and bugging us, okay? But it goes against our natural inclinations because you hurt me. What, you stole my childhood. You ripped me off. And I don't care how long you've been a believer. Somewhere in the background, it just that desire to get even, is sitting there somewhere. Not in you, I know. Not in you, it's in me. But you don't know what I'm talking about, okay? But the desire to make somebody pay. The desire to make somebody pay. I want them to hurt like I hurt. I want them to experience the depth of pain that I've experienced. Oh, my. But you owe me. You owe me to treat me with respect, to admit you're wrong, to spend more time with me, not to embarrass me before my friends. You owe me to keep your vows. You know, there's people here who struggle with broken relationships, even in marriage. You know, to quit being a workaholic, to come home and spend meaningful time with the family. You know, behind most pain and wounds is the sense that we've been robbed, that we've been taken advantage of. It's oftentimes there's no indication of guilt on the part of our offender. You ever notice that? People that hurt us deeply, we want them to at least acknowledge that they hurt us, and oftentimes it's not even there. You don't see it, and that's difficult to work. There's not even awareness of our pain, and so we go around sucking our thumb. But there's something in us that wants to pay back. Doesn't matter how long you've been around, how much of a dedicated Christian, it's always there. And some of us have retaliated with paybacks. And it only provides temporary satisfaction, and sometimes not even that. You know, Christians don't believe in retaliation, right? We don't believe in that. No, we don't. And so we don't do that, do we? Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's why we divide. It's why we split. It's why we cause problems. And we know all the right verses, right? Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. Okay? Don't return evil for evil, but rather good. Turn the other cheek. Do you realize how hard those things are? Do you realize how difficult those things are? They are immensely difficult. All you gotta do is look at Jesus. One of the things that has helped me a lot is to see that Jesus did not defend himself. He didn't defend himself. It's pretty hard for me not to do that. Okay? And even though we don't actively try even to hurt the other person because we know it's wrong, we still carry the pain of it. Devious me. You know, I've heard something, the person who hurt me, I heard something bad about them. And somehow I go, oh my, could you give me more details? Tell me more about that. And somewhere in the background, was he really hurt that bad? How long was he out of a job? What happened to him? I want to pray for him. Or when confronted, we respond with, I have forgiven. Well, if you respond like that, you haven't forgiven. Okay, do you understand that? Our mouth says one thing, our tone of voice, our body language says another. And the thing we can't let go of reaches out and it hurts the people that we love the most. You know, oftentimes, if I use the illustration of my finger getting crushed with a log splitter and, you know, Grace reaching over during the night and squeezing my hand and it just, I came unglued, I hollered. But see, she didn't cause it, but she bumped it. And oftentimes, if we don't forgive and we're carrying that wound and that pain, guess who bumps our pain? Our children, our wife, our work, the people we work with. And they get the reaction and they get the response. So in Matthew 18, Jesus gives us a clear picture of what can clear our hearts and clean up our lives of pain and anger. He really does. And so what we're going to do is we want to look at how Jesus defines forgiveness in Matthew 18. And the first part of it says, yes, I'll go to my brother, they'll come to me, and I'll forgive them. And that, once again, I told you, I've seen that people use that legally. But then Jesus asks this question. I mean, Peter asked Jesus this question. Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? Do you think he had somebody in mind? I can almost guarantee it. We know Peter's nature, his character. I'm almost confident that he had somebody in mind when he says, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? That's a good round number, right? And then Jesus says, how about if you don't keep count? I think that's what he was saying. I don't know. Do you want to count how many times he actually says? No, probably not. But 7. It's got to be the perfect number. There's got to be a limit. Enough's enough. If they keep offending me, it's their loss. I've tried. I've done my part. I've gone the second mile. If you say you've gone the second mile, you haven't gone the first. Can you hear that? If we say we've gone the second mile, we probably haven't gone the first, even though we think we have. Wow. And then there's this assumption that by forgiving, I'm doing that person a favor. And I see this over and over again. We think that when we forgive somebody, we're doing them a favor. And then Jesus starts telling this seemingly unrelated story. And you know what? Forgiveness as an offense isn't even mentioned in this story. Okay, let's look at this story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. I'm sure you probably have heard ministers, and maybe you've done it yourself, you've looked up to see how much 10,000 talents was, and then to apply it to today's living. It's a huge amount. In fact, that servant's wages, this servant would have had to live two lifetimes to be able to pay it back. What does that make it? It makes it a debt that he was not able to pay, and that's what it says. So, since he wasn't able to pay, the master decided he's going to cut his losses, and he's going to put his servant and his wife, servant's wife, and his children, and all that he had, his table, his wheelbarrow, whatever else, he was going to put it on the auction block, and maybe his wife would go one place, children another place, his belongings. He was going to be totally liquidated, and he was going to go and belong to somebody else. The master was just going to cut his losses. Wow. I mean, that's huge. So one of the things we have to remember is it's an unpayable debt. Listen, people who have hurt you, people who have said things, you can't take back words. You can't unsay things. And when you've done something, you can't undo it. And so many times we have hurt other people by our actions and our words, and we sort of minimize those compared to what other people have done to us, and we maximize that. Do you ever notice that tendency? It's sort of what we do. It's our flesh. But it's an unpayable debt. They can't pay it back. No, it's not something that we can undo. Jesus, and then the servant fell on his knees before him. Have patience with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Wow. The king promptly took pity on him, canceled his debt, and let him go. Wow. Hang on to these things. Hang on to these words, okay? The king promptly took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go, all right? So then the story continues. And when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. He grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay me back what you owe, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged me, be patient with me, I'll pay you back. Does this sound familiar? Deja vu, you know? The same words are repeated again, only it's in a different setting. But look what it says. But he refused. Instead, he went and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Isn't that sort of stupid? Somebody owes you money, you put them in prison, they can't work, they can't earn money to pay the debt. Okay, but look what it says here. He says he refused to forgive him even as his master had forgiven him. Wow. So then look what comes next. Then the king called that servant in. You, and this is so crucial. This is so big. You wicked servant. Do you hear what happens? How God looks at us when we haven't forgiven? Perhaps this morning you're sitting here and there's things that are in your life that you know you have to cancel debts. Might be with your wife. Might be with your brother, might be with your dad, might be with anyone else. It could be your neighbor. I don't know. But when we don't forgive, look how God looks at us. Because, you see, the reason why it's so important for us to do this is because we become an extension of God. When we become Christians, it says that we are being recreated in the image of the one who created us. And so we are to be an extension of God, And so we are to forgive even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. He says, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Did you ever notice, maybe you haven't, but do you know who the people who are struggling the most emotionally and struggling, you know, just not doing well? It's the people who haven't forgiven others. And maybe this is you. It was me. I remember going through 2 church divisions, and after the second one, I went home and I sat in my lazy boy on Sunday mornings, and I stayed home from church for a year. Angry. Bitter. And I could have told you, I could have told all of you why it was their fault, not mine. I can still conjure that up. And were there problems on that side? Absolutely there were. But I am so grateful that God brought a man into my life. I don't know, I gotta watch the time, but I remember this man came into our business, Ebeling Service Plus. He came walking in, big, tall, blonde-haired guy with an accent. His dad fought with the Nazis in the German War against, on the other side. But here he was living in America, and he had this German accent, but he also knew Spanish very well, so he had this combined accent. And he came in, and he says, I want to buy a lawnmower. Just a simple push mower. I said, hey, I just traded one in. Come with me. And I took him back where it was, and I showed him this lawnmower. It was really a nice one. It was in good shape. And I showed it to him, and that man began to start chewing me down. He kept on chewing and chewing, trying to get me to the bottom dollar. He was worse than a Mennonite. Did I say that? I'm sorry. He just kept chewing on me and chewing on me and chewing on me. And finally, I looked at him. And you know, I was going through one of the church splits, and I was already angry. And I looked at him. I says, you know what? I don't care what you'd pay me for this lawnmower. I won't sell it to you. And I turned around and walked away. That's not a good way to stay in business. And I want to tell you something. My anger, my frustration, and staying home from church and being angry because of that, I want to tell you what happened in the business. Our profits almost went down to nothing that year. Why? Because I was so full of frustration and anger. I was concentrating. I couldn't concentrate on doing things right. The next day, here he comes walking in the door again. And I'm going, oh, round 2. And he comes walking up to me and he says, you know, yesterday I offended you. And I'm here to ask your forgiveness. He says, I'll pay you whatever you want for that lawnmower. I had never been treated like that before. And then he opened it up and explained it. He says, I just came off the mission field, and I'm really worn and I'm really tired. But I was on the mission field in Mexico. And he says, Do you know what? When you go to buy something in Mexico, that's what you do. You chew it down to the lowest dollar. He says, I need to learn how to live in America. I was treating you like a Mexican. Treats each other. He says, that was wrong. I need to, and he says, I'll pay you whatever. And so I sold him the lawnmower, and you know what? He and I went out for breakfast every Wednesday morning for the next year at Country Fair in Myerstown. And that man discipled me, and he was not an Anabaptist, but he read through his Bible every year, and he's the one that taught me this lesson. He taught me how to forgive. And do you know what I ended up doing? Took me a while to get around to this, but I finally called a good friend of mine who was the overseer at the church where I wasn't attending because I was staying home angry and bitter. And I said, would you allow me to speak at the next council meeting? And he says, yeah, I will. And he didn't even ask me what I'm going to say, which is amazing. So I got up, and you know what? I asked their forgiveness for not acting like a person of God. A child of God, and I ask their forgiveness, and I didn't bring up one thing about them. You see, when you ask for forgiveness, it's all about you. It's 100% about what you are dealing with, whether you're the offended person or whether you offended. You don't bring up the other person. You deal with you, and he showed me that, and He taught me through Matthew 18. And this is so important. And I was the one in jail. Do you see this? I was the one being tortured. I was the one in prison. All the while I was in my own home, but I was the one being tortured in prison. Why? Because I was harboring anger and frustration and bitterness, and I took it out on him, which is not how you stay in business long. Okay, but look what it says. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured. That's what has happened to me. Until he should pay back all he owed. Now, I have a question for you. Some of you heard this before, so you probably have the answer. But how much did he owe? How much did he owe? Unpayable. I used to think that. And forgive me, I set you up. Okay. But I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he owed him 2 weeks of wages. Because that's what his fellow servant owed him. Remember, the master released him. He canceled his debt. Once you cancel a debt, you don't reinstate it. I thought the debt got reinstated. No, it didn't get reinstated. He owed until he should pay back all he owed. What did he owe? Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you and cancel his debt too? And the 100 pence that he owed was like 2 months' wages. I forget how long. It wasn't very long. But he could have paid it back. It was a payable debt. But instead, he threw him in prison. And so there's that analogy again. So all he owed was to cancel his fellow servant's debt, which was a small one. And he had his huge unpayable debt canceled, just like we. Just like we have had our huge unpayable debt canceled. There's this lesson gets, it's much bigger than what I can unpack it in just one session, but we're going to do our best for right now. But this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Do you see that? He's talking to us, brothers. He's talking to us. And he's telling us, this is how our Father will treat us if we don't forgive each other and our spouses and our friends and our neighbors and the people who have hurt us and our enemies. Wow. Jesus defines forgiveness as canceled debt. You don't owe me anymore. Okay? You don't owe me anymore. That's so huge. So huge. You and I have lost our right to not forgive at Calvary. We've lost our right not to forgive on Calvary. Yeah, it's huge. It's really huge. Jesus took the side of the offenders. That's why we're Christians. So we get the picture. The king is God, and we're the wicked servant. And the cross teaches us that forgiveness is accepting or assuming the emotional debt of pain that the offender has caused us. This is so important. This is so important because when we forgive somebody, they can't pay us back. And so we have to assume the emotional debt. I have a handout, and another handout which helps us identify what people stole from us. So let's keep going. From our perspective, forgiveness benefits the offender. Okay, and so when we forgive somebody, we think we're doing them a benefit because that's why we're Christians. If he sided with the offended, he would have been standing aside his father at Calvary saying, I can't believe they treated me that way. We should have them crucified. But he took our side, and we were the offender. He took our side. And so he's saying, we're to forgive others. We're supposed to take the side of the offender too. That's so hard. But you see, we said all those words about how Jesus forgave us sacrificially, how God forgave us. It's huge. I'm the offender. You're the offender. And praise God, he sided with us. If he wouldn't have sided with us, we'd be in major trouble. We tend to think that forgiveness is a gift to the person who hurt us. And God says, no, it's primarily a gift for the one who was offended. It's primarily a gift for us. It sets us free. It gets us out of prison. Without passing go and without collecting $200. Okay. There will be consequences in our lives as long as we hold that hot coal of unforgiveness. Okay. Relational problems will haunt us as long as we don't extend forgiveness. And our Heavenly Father knows and loves us so much that he won't quit pressuring us with consequences until we're willing to release it. And I've had to deal with those consequences. And I look back and I'm going, Father, thank you for not abandoning me to my bitterness and my anger. When a child is mistreated by an adult, do you know what usually do? They usually involve themselves in self-destructive behavior. We do too. We just don't realize it. It's the very nature of resentment. Our Heavenly Father knows that, and he says, I'm coming after you until you forgive so you can heal. So, canceling the debt. Identify specifically what has been taken from us. Once again, I said I have a handout that helps us. Let me just tell you what I would encourage you to do. If you have a problem with somebody or somebody that's coming to mind that you haven't forgiven, I'd encourage you to put that person's name at the top of a paper and write down all the things that they've done to hurt you. Okay? Write it down. If you don't want to put the person's name down there, put something there that you recognize that maybe you don't want somebody to find that paper, but then write down what that person did to hurt you. Because you see, that's what's been, then you say, so what was taken, when they did that, what did that take from me? What did that take from me? You see, if you don't identify the debt, you can't cancel it. I'm going to give you a story. Quite a few years ago, I was working with a young lady, and she was dating, and she wanted to get married, and she asked if we would give them premarital counseling, and so I knew that there were major problems, and so I said, how about if just you would come and sit down with Grace and I? And so she did. And we sat there, the three of us, sat in our back room, and by the end of her story, we were just all crying. Because when she was 5 years old, her parents, who lived out of state, would come home to dad and mom's, grandpa and grandma's place, and her dad's younger brother would come and visit her bedroom. Started molesting her. When she was 6 years old, he started having intercourse with her. And that continued for years. And she said, I would be terrified. I'd hear his footsteps coming back the hall, and I would be terrified. And she goes, I would leave. Well, her body wouldn't leave, but her spirit and soul would go do something else because she couldn't handle what was happening. And she goes, I couldn't tell anybody else because it wasn't safe to tell anybody else. Do you realize how safe of a dad you need to be for your children? You got to be a safe dad that your children come and tell you anything, anything, and you won't get angry and upset at them. Okay? And she goes, the only person I could talk to was my cousin who was going through the same thing. Why? Now this is many years later, and her uncle's in ministry. I just heard of two more situations just like this, and I think I have a couple more visits to make. So I called him, and I said, hey, could we have breakfast together? And so we met at Country Fair in Myerstown. He didn't know what I was going to talk about. I just said, hey, I've been meeting with your niece, and she told me what took place. And I'd ask her, did your uncle ever come and ask you for forgiveness? She goes, yeah, he did. And I said, did you forgive him? Yeah, I did. But I can't stand him. Whenever he shows up, I leave. Okay, why? We tend to forgive an event, the action it caused to hurt. Okay? We tend to forgive an event, the action it caused to hurt. And you know what? He went back and he asked her to forgive him for what he did to her. It doesn't work. My brothers, it doesn't work. So when you make that list, the person, and then you make that list, I want to sort of unpack this because what I sat there at we sat there at Country Fair and I told him how Jesus defines forgiveness. It's canceling debt. So I said, you know, when you did that to her, I said, you went back and you asked her forgiveness and she said she forgave you. He goes, yeah. So I said, when you did that to her, what did it take from her? So let's ask the question, what debt did it incur in her? You stole her purity. You stole her childhood. You stole her future. And we went like five or six things. And he just I said, would you be willing to go back to her and just say, hey, you know, I ask you for forgiveness for what I did, but I need to ask you for forgiveness for what I stole from you. He says, Jason, I will do that. I'll do that, but I first have to go home and heal my wife. I didn't ask. I have no idea. But it was so interesting. 4 months later, a friend, another couple and I, and Grace and I were down at the Philadelphia Flower Show, walking through the flower show, and my phone buzzed, and I looked at it, and it was her. She says, please pray for me. My uncle's coming to see me at 5 o'clock. Pray that I don't flip out on him. About 5 minutes later, it buzzed again. It was the uncle. He says, please pray for me. I'm going to visit my niece at 5 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, we found a table, we sat down, and we prayed for that meeting. A couple hours later, I got another text, and it said, Dad, I can't, and why did she call me Dad? She calls us Dad and Mom. Why? Because that's what Dad and Moms do. They love and care. And she goes, Dad, I can't wait to talk to you. And you know what happened? After that, she would actually go to church with him. Why? Is because he went back and he connected, and she saw that he connected with how deeply he had damaged her, and he recognized what was stolen from her, and he begged her with tears. He went with tears and repentance and said, can you possibly forgive me for what I stole from you? And I said, listen, restore childhood, restore purity, restore innocence, restore future. And the pain went away. The pain went away. And now she, instead of running away, she actually went to church. Isn't that amazing? You see what happens when we really understand that Jesus defines forgiveness. We tend to forgive an event. It doesn't work. We need to identify what was stolen from us. So when you look at what people did, then you write down, what did that take from me? Stole my reputation. It took my peace of mind. You name it. But when we identify what was stolen from us, what specifically does this person owe me? Not what they did to me. Does that make any sense, guys, brothers? This is so, so powerful. This is how Jesus defines forgiveness, and it's why we've heard all these sermons, but it doesn't change because we still have this debt. The reason why he had came and asked her for what he did, forgiveness for what he did to her, but the pain was still there because the debt was there. She intellectually forgave him, and that's what we do, but she never forgave because the pain was still in the emotions in here. But when he identified with the emotional pain that he stole from her, now she could cancel that debt, and now her spirit was free, and his spirit was free. Isn't it amazing, the power of forgiveness? It's an amazing thing. Then forgiveness says, I cancel your debt. You don't owe me anymore. You don't owe me anymore. Wow. Do the feelings go away? Not right away. I want you to know something. Forgiveness is not something we do. Forgiveness becomes a way of life. Can you hear that? Forgiveness needs to become a way of life because I forgave people from that church split where I went down and I asked them for forgiveness. Many of them never came back to ask for forgiveness. One or two did, which is really neat. But, you know, when I would see them, you know what would happen inside? And I'd have to forgive them all over. I had to cancel the debt all over again. And you do that, and you do it, and you do it until you no longer react. And then you really become an extension of God's forgiveness to us. You don't owe me anymore. You see, God's way of dealing with my sin, he personally paid for all my sins by dying. God became us. He became flesh. And he was fully human and fully God. And he hung on that cross. And on that cross, he canceled the debt. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, were they free? No. You see, when we cancel people's debt, we're free. They are not until they receive that forgiveness or even ask us for forgiveness. You see, there's two sides to the equation. And it doesn't always restore relationships. But when we do our part, then it's up to, then God can work on them. And if they don't respond to his working on them, you let it go. You let it go. You don't, please, don't ever go up to somebody and say, hey, I want you to know I forgave you. It does not work. Because you know what it does? It's a one-upmanship. I forgave you. Don't do that. Treat them like they're forgiven. If you treat them like they're forgiven, now conviction starts happening in their lives. Are you with me? Are you with me? So important. So justice would require me to pay for my own sins, but Jesus paid my price, so I don't have to pay for my sins. And so how do I forgive somebody else? My way of dealing with another's failure is I assume the personal responsibility for the emotional pain and consequences of the other's sin. You see, when somebody hurts you deeply, they can't restore it. They can't pay you back. They can't give you. They can't take away that emotional pain. They can ask you for forgiveness, and that helps, just like that man did with his niece. That really helped, and it took away a lot of the emotional pain. But it doesn't always. But it sets you free because you now have canceled their debt. And it's not depending on what they do. Please, you got to hear that. It doesn't depend on what they do. You get free when you cancel their debt. If they receive that forgiveness, then both of you can get free and it can restore a relationship. But if they don't, it might not restore the relationship. It's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. Okay, brokenness is accepting God's healing from my wounds and my failure. So we are not going to go over this chart. So on your handout, let's see. It's all filled in. What I would really like to encourage you, did you see, I'm going to buzz through it because we're not going to go over it. This takes too long, and it's time for you to go to a small group. My brother Frank, I really wish he would come and teach this. He taught, and in 2014, he was a teacher at SMBI for years, Sharon Mennonite Bible Institute, and he was a teacher there for years. And he did a series, and now the cooperation between SMBI and Anabaptist Perspectives, they're remastering that set of teachings, which make them very easy to listen to because it takes out all the in-between spaces and everything else, so you can just listen to it. They just released Lecture 10 on forgiveness, and it goes over this chart. This is actually his chart. Okay, and I would encourage you, if you have access to it, to go on there. If you go into Anabaptist Perspectives website, actually at the top it says Frank's teachings. It has Frank's teachings listed. If you click on that, you can actually subscribe to it and you will get every one that's released, and they're releasing like one a week. And I would just really encourage you, if you can possibly do, go to this and listen to it. It is powerful. Just was released. I just listened to it for the first time while I was working yesterday. And I'm going, wow. It's huge because it goes over the life of Joseph. And it is a powerful, powerful teaching. We went free, right, brothers? We went free. And we want other people to be free too. But it starts with us. Forgiveness is so huge. It's so important. And my brothers, thank you. It's so good to be back. It's so good to be with you. And I just want to bless you. Do treat them and start talking to people like they are forgiven, even though you still might react and the emotions are there. But if you don't, if you reject them, don't treat them like you did them a favor, okay? Treat them with humility and graciousness, okay? Another story. But a local businessman. This goes back. I mean, I'm an old man, so I'm telling you stories go way back, okay? But a local businessman molested a neighbor girl, ongoing. And then later on, he starts a business in the area, and it grew to be a very big business with lots of trucks and service trucks and things like that. And she told me that every time I see one of those trucks, I just, the anger and the frustration just wells up. If you're the perpetrator, go back and make it right. Emotional restitution is doing what that uncle did. Okay? If you're the perpetrator, go back and say, I just had a call from a man out of state, and he said, you know, Jason, he said, I need some help here. He said, growing up, I molested two of my sisters. What do I do? I said, are they married? Yeah. I said, do their husbands know? I don't know. I said, well, why don't you go to your sister? She's your sister. And say, hey, could we talk? If it's on the phone, okay. But if you can do it in person, better. Just simply say, And I went over this. Just beg her to forgive you and cancel the debt of what you did and what you stole from her. And he says, I'm going to do that. You see the beauty of what forgiveness can do? It can restore. It can heal. So if you're a perpetrator, go back and make it right. Go back and make it right. Father, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that even as you forgave us, we are to forgive others. And you canceled our debt. Help us to cancel other people's debt and help it to become a way of life for each of us. Father, this group of men, there is power in this room. And when we live like you want us to live, we become an extension of you. And that certainly is a huge part of forgiveness. So would you bless these men as they go to small group, as they go out and live lives, as they be dads, sons, husbands, employees, employers. Just help us to be salt and light in this dark world. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.